Matthew chapter 12. We'll actually begin reading in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm just going to read the first two verses of Hebrews 12, which will be to read a verse like this. I would love just to preach on this verse, but this is not the day or the time. The author of Hebrews writes, and actually this is a sermon written down according to chapter 13. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses," that's chapter 11, "let us," and then he tells us how to run the race that God has set before us. The first thing we have to do is lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. That's the first thing. You got to get rid of some baggage. And then he says, "And let us run with patience, endurance, the race that is set before us." We actually have to run, and we have to run with endurance. This isn't the 100-yard dash. Look at me, friends. You're going to see over your lifetime, sadly, disappointments. It will normally happen because people think this is a 10-minute thing. This is a lifetime, running, just running. Then, of course, he concludes his exhortation. So laying aside some things, running with endurance or patience. And then in verse 2, one of the great texts, everybody, I would assume every Christian loves it, it says, "Looking unto Jesus." And that means in every situation, yes, we have friends, yes, we have heroes, yes, we have mentors, but we're looking through them ultimately unto Jesus, who is the author, the one that begins it all, and the finisher, the one that brings to conclusion our faith. So if you want to know where your salvation comes from, it comes from the Lord, through the Lord, and ends with the Lord. But then it says something about Jesus, which is, in life we're going to see him practicing this. This is the author describing it later. "Who," meaning Jesus, "for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew 12 and verse 9. Matthew 12, verse 9. So you say, what are we going to preach on? I call this morning mission success. But friends, I want to look at it on two sides. Everything I say about Jesus in the text this morning applies to us also. Jesus came to earth not for a picnic, not to see how much he could accumulate, not to see how much money he had, not to see how much fun he had, a mission. Yes or no? By the way, apart from that mission and him concluding and finishing that mission, we have no hope. None. I was talking about Cliffy. There are people that sometimes ask the retarded question, who's the most important American in history? Our most important president? Who's the greatest president? I'm a very simple person. Without George Washington, there is no America. No more conversation. Dumb conversation. A biography was written of him. You've read it. Called The Indispensable Man. Let me say this. Apart from Jesus, look at me. Knowing his mission, enduring and finishing his mission, all hope is lost. We're going to talk about Jesus, but we're also going to talk about us. And for you that have ears to hear what I said in Sunday school, that will apply too. Matthew chapter 12, verse 9. This will be the text from tonight, but I want to read it for context. "And when he had departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hair withered." The Greek word for withered means dried up. We don't know what it exactly looked like and what caused it, but he had a hand that didn't work in some fashion. "And they," the Pharisees, the ones that are so interested in the Sabbath day, the ones that are interested in fulfilling the Sabbath day and resting, are following him around. They're gossiping about him. They're arguing with him. I hate hypocrisy, and the Pharisees were the epitome. It said, they ask him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" For what purpose? So they could accuse him. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you? What kind of person are you? That you would have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath, they will not lay hold on it when you grab it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well or to do good on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Everything we have read so far is tonight's sermon. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council. That means they got together and they plotted against him how they might destroy him. Wait a minute, look at me please. This was on what day? The day of rest, right? The hypocrisy of people and the games we play. Well, what arrested my attention, and I have a whole message that we'll talk about tonight about rules and things, is the next couple verses. It arrested me because of the nature of today. Not today day, but in this era. But when Jesus knew it, what did he know? That they were trying to destroy him. When he knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. That's the first thing he did. And the second thing he did, says, great multitudes followed him. And what else did he do? And he healed them all. This goes way back to chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30, that his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and he's very interested in saving people, helping people, changing people's lives. He doesn't want people to be burdened down. So he just healed everybody that came. And then he did something else. So there's three things he did here. He knew about this and withdrew himself. He continued to charge or commanded them that they should not make him known, which is very odd. So today I'm going to talk about mission success. Father, thank you for this beautiful text that certainly arrested my attention this week as I meditated on these passages. I believe it's what we need as a church, because we all have a mission. Some of us have forgotten that. We kind of think we're here to exist or have fun or goof off, or I'm not even sure. I thank you that we can clearly see what the Lord Jesus did, which is simply what the author of Hebrews is saying he did. He endured, despised the shame, died on the cross, was buried, rose again, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Finished. He completed his mission. Help me this morning to share these ideas, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You have certain rules as a pastor, certain rules only because I have a mean daughter. One of my rules is I never say anything bad about my wife. Today is going to be the first exception. It's almost bad, but the only reason I'm doing it because I did something worse. A few weeks ago, my wife texted me at night. She's downstairs doing whatever she does, and I'm upstairs reading. She asked a question on the text. I have it in my phone. She says, do you want me to take this water out of the freezer, or do you want me to leave it in the freezer? Now, I have bottles of water. They're not like this. I bought those expensive bottles that are big and they have a big mouth, and I fill them with water from the tap, and I put it in the freezer because this old man likes cold water. By the way, for all of you that are in Sunday school, that means I'm a what? American. Go to other countries and they're like, we were in Peru. Cassie, good luck on getting ice in Peru and cold anything. Cold there just is sitting on the floor and they bring you a cold can of soda. I like it cold. I like it cold where it's, when I open that big bottle, it's a little slushy and there's a little ice in there. You know, I don't want it solid. I love cold water. So anyhow, Jenny texts me, says, you want to take this bottle out of the freezer and put it in the refrigerator? I said, yeah, I'll come down and get it in an hour or two. I don't need it right now. An hour or two later, I came downstairs. Went and opened the refrigerator. Now, I don't know why it is. I don't know why women can see everything in a refrigerator and I can't find anything. So I'm thinking, am I blind? Where did she put it? And I remember very kindly, of course, I said, Jenny, where's my water at? Where was the water at? Still in the freezer. You say, does your wife do that a lot? I'm going to talk about me now. Satish, this has your name on it. You just don't know it. I don't think I've told Satish this. I don't know, a year ago, 2 years, I don't know when it was. Satish and Rashida asked us to come over, and we were going to come over and have a nice meal. I don't remember if we were going out or at their house. And I know how to get there, more or less. So I don't need GPS. Now, I know there are people GPS to get to. Some folks have to have GPS to get to Jewel Osco across the street. I get it. I don't like, I just drive. I got a good sense of direction, and once I've been there, I can get there. And it was perfect. I get lost it when I start talking. And we started talking, and we were having a good conversation. Now, by the way, I was supposed to pull out from my house and get over to Green Bay Road, go south on Green Bay Road, and Satish has a place you turn. I had it all in my mind, but we started talking. Got off mission, and I was talking. Have you been there? Now, this morning, I have to assume some things. I'll start with Jesus. Did Jesus have a mission? One of our problems is some Christians